invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of 1 John. 1 John 3:1. We're going to take one verse and chew on it this morning. The Apostle John writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." This is God's Word. "Just withers and the flower fades, the Word of our God will stand forever. Amen." Back in the summer of 2001, there was a book published by a pastor by the name of Rob Bell that was called Love Wins. And in this not-so-great work, Rob Bell explains his ideas, and they are his ideas, they are not God's ideas, on hell and the afterlife, and sheds light on really what his idea of the gospel is. I remember coming across this book. I think it was at a conference. I honestly can't remember where it was. But flipping through it, and it's not a very difficult read, but as you go through it, what became very apparent was that Rob Bell was sort of showing his true colors, and that those are the colors of liberalism and theological liberalism at that, which essentially has three pillars. The first pillar is that of the universal fatherhood of God. This is what Christian liberalism professes, followed by the second pillar of the infinite worth of the human soul. Finally, they would teach an understanding of the gospel that, like I said, comes out in this book, the law of love to one's fellow man. And with these three pillars, we see, and then you will see this summer as Pastor Barker goes through sort of the history of the Christian church, that this is really what moved the church in a very opposite direction in the 1900s. Here it comes out again in Bell's writing. And if you follow the sort of blogosphere, sparked quite the controversy back in 2011. Anyway, these three pillars of liberalism are contradicted very poignantly here in this verse that we have selected for you this morning. I want you to see that as we look at the love of our Father in heaven for us, His children. The first thing that we see from this that is contrary to liberalism is that there are two types of children in this world, and that you are either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. And there is no in-between. There is no skirting around that issue. You either are the child of God or a child of Satan. It can't be both. It's one or the other. And if you look at this text in the second half of this verse, this is why he says that the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. The all-important question for you is, who is your Father this morning? Are you trusting in God for your salvation? And if so, if you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, then you find yourself with God as your Father. If not, you are still a child of the devil. I want this to be a little uncomfortable for you this morning, because I'm not so blind or so ignorant to think that just because you show up for church on Sunday morning, that you're not sitting there still this morning as a child of the devil. It's a very important, it's the most important, arguably, you could make. You could ask yourself, which are you? And how do you know? I'm going to tell you here in just a moment how you know, but first, I want you to see the foundations upon which a child of God, God's love for you as his child, are laid. Notice what he says again, see. In other words, look and see what kind of love the Father has given to us in order that we are children of him. What kind of love does God have for you? And here's where a right understanding of the whole counsel of God serves you well, Christian. You see, as Reformed Christians, as Christians that believe in God's holy and inerrant word, we have a very radical understanding of God's love, do we not? I want you to see that this doctrine of predestination that we so often argue about, and is so often, I think, just avoided because it's so controversial, shows us a love that God has for you that is different than any other form of love in the entire universe. You see, with the understanding of a God that has predestined you for glory, I want you to see what that means about the God, the love that God has for you. Before you sort of relegate it to the dustbin of useless and controversial doctrines, give it another look and see what it means. You see, what it means when we read in Scripture that God has chosen you for salvation from the foundations of the world. In other words, it's saying that God has a love for you as his children that will never die. And that God pursues you as his child, and he will never let you go. He will never stop pursuing you. That's what the doctrine of predestination is. That God has chosen you, you are his, he will never let you go. That's what this means. That's what he's talking about here when he says, see, look and see what kind of love the Father has. It's a love that never lets you go, that never stops pursuing you. That no matter how bad your life is, no matter how much sin you are rolling around with and wrestling with, you are a child of God because he says you are a child of God. It's his love that makes you a child of God. Secondly, the power of this adoption that he has taken it upon himself to bless you with. The same is true with the doctrine of predestination, is it not? Look at what it took. Look at the power of God moving, the power of this love that he has for you as his children that will not let you go. You know what that means? You know what that's telling you? It's telling you that it's not you. It's not you that makes yourself a child of God. It's not something that you make happen. It's the power of God working in you, causing faith to well up in you, bringing your dead heart to life, and then working repentance in your life. You know, repentance is a very valuable understanding as well, isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. One of the more remarkable things about this is that he's not just talking about physical suffering here or physical mourning. There's a spiritual dimension that goes on in the heart of a Christian that he's referring to, Jesus is referring to here in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn over what? Spiritually, those who mourn over their sin. This is true repentance in the heart of a believer. How do you know that you are a child of God? I asked that question earlier. Well, you know in part by your sin. How do you feel when you sin? What happens when you break God's commands, when you have sin? Does it break your heart? Do you mourn over your sin? This is true repentance in the heart of a believer. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are repentant. This is the work of God in your life, causing you to see your sin as God sees it, as a violation of his statutes, as a violation of his moral law. The third thing that the power of adoption does, first of all, it gives you faith. It causes repentance to take hold of your life. Thirdly, it gives you new obedience to follow after God's moral law. This is the power, my friends, of a God who pursues you relentlessly, who has chosen you, who has showed his love to you in Jesus Christ, and now applies that in faith, repentance, and new obedience. That's the power of adoption, flowing from the foundation of adoption, which is this never-ending love of God. The last thing I want you to see this morning are some of the blessings that come from being a child of God, blessings that come from being adopted into God's family, being a child of God, knowing God as your Father. This is the very first blessing that comes, is that you actually get the love of the Father. It may sound very basic, and indeed it is, but is this not one of the greatest blessings as a Christian? Is that you get to experience the love of God for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. It means that God wants you, that he accepts you on the merits of Jesus Christ. You know what it is to be wanted? Very powerful thing, is it not? I look around our society, I look around at the world today, and there's so many people. Just nobody wants them. Nobody cares about them. I see it in the grocery stores with children and parents. There's so many children out there, guys, that their parents just don't want them. And it's evident, it's apparent. But here, as a child of God, you know that God wants you. The story that Joel Beakey tells about this, I've probably shared it with you before. But he talks about a little girl that was seriously disabled and had a number of different learning disabilities. And one of them was she was hard of hearing. And as you can imagine, the children at school were incredibly unkind. They didn't want her. They made fun and teased and bullied this little girl. And one day, they were having hearing tests at the school, and her teacher was conducting them. And when it was this little girl's turn to get up, the test for her, the teacher got down and whispered in this little girl's ear, "I wish you were my little girl." To be loved, to be wanted by somebody. This is the love that God has for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the love that we're talking about that sets you apart, that calls you to be different, and enables you to be a child of God. What a wonderful thing. What an unbelievable love that your Father has for you. You get nothing else from this sermon. Know that God loves you today. For if he didn't, he never would have sent his Son to die for you. You always have that. Know that, Christian, that God wants you, that he loves you. Second blessing that you get from being a child of God is that you get to be like your Father. This is one of the things that's so humbling to me as a father now, and scary at the same time, is that my children want to be like me. You can make jokes later, it's okay. I make them myself. It's a remarkable thing to see you're doing work and you look over and there's your son or there's your daughter trying to imitate you, trying to be like you. You, as children of God, get to be like your heavenly Father. How does this work? Well, it may not be a working that we're always fond of. So bear with me here. But you get to be like your Father by understanding what brings glory, what brings honor, what brings pleasure to your heavenly Father. What did Jesus tell us? If you love me, keep my commandments. We must be assured, we must be encouraged, we need to be chastised even, to keep God's laws, to keep His commandments. There's a very good little book that's out now by a man by the name of Kevin DeYoung. Hopefully some of you have heard of him. A very good book called A Hole in Your Holiness. And in one of the chapters early on in this book, DeYoung laments the state of a lot of churches today, where he says they don't really know what to do with the law of God. We're not quite sure if we should emphasize it some or not at all. He calls it nomophobia, which means fear of the law. We don't know what to do with it. And he gives us the answer to what we do. He says, emphasizing free grace, that is, de-emphasizing the law, free grace, is not the problem. He says the problem is in assuming that good works will invariably flow from nothing but a diligent emphasis on the gospel. Let me read that again. The problem is in assuming that good works will invariably flow from nothing but a diligent emphasis on the gospel. He's not saying don't emphasize the gospel. Indeed, he is. That's the whole point of the book. It's my whole point in this sermon today. See the love that God has for you. But then show it back to him. Model it back to him. What do you think God's law is anyway? It's a reflection of who your heavenly Father is. Therefore, by keeping God's commandments, not in some saving way or any way that's going to bring salvation to you, but in keeping them as a rule of obedience in your life, you are being like your Father in heaven. Take another look at God's moral law. Study it. Seek to fulfill it, to do it. And in doing so, you will find yourself being more and more like your heavenly Father. Third thing I've already mentioned, but I will mention it again. The third blessing of adoption is that you get the chastisement of your Father. Doesn't sound really like a blessing, does it? I wonder this every time, actually. I have to spank my children. And I know for a fact that they don't see it as a blessing from their earthly father. But indeed it is. You, as children of God, get the chastisement of your heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1:17 emphasizes this for you, where Peter writes, "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with great fear throughout the time of your exile." And by exile, he simply means your earthly life here. Let me tell you what this means. We have been loved by our Heavenly Father. You are indeed children of God. He loves you. But because He loves you, He does chastise. He does do things to work repentance in your life when you are out of line with His commands. Let me just spell this out as clearly as I possibly can. If you are in sin right now, continuing sin, He will bring chastisement your way. Gentlemen, if you are surfing pornography on the web repeatedly on your smartphones or on your laptop or whatever it is, you will be found out. You will get caught, And there will be punishment. There will be ramifications of that sin. If you are gossiping, the same thing is true. You will be found out. And there are ramifications of that in this life that you will have to bear with you. This is the chastisement of your father. This is the fear that Peter talks about here. This is what it means to have a reverence of God and his word and his commandments. Be warned. Pay careful attention to your everyday life. It's important. It has ramifications to what you do. Incidentally, this is why we have the Lord's Supper as regularly as we have it here. It's a reminder to continually be disciplining yourself, to be searching out those areas of your life where sin is still taking hold and bringing them to light and dealing with them and repenting of them and going on in new obedience, knowing that God loves us. This is really one of the most loving things you can do, is it not? Is to chastise, is to discipline your children, right? God, as your heavenly Father, disciplines us, disciplines you. Fourthly and finally, the blessings of adoption, the blessing of being a child of God, is that you receive an inheritance from your heavenly Father. And there's two aspects of this I want to show you very quickly with the time we have remaining. The first, this inheritance that you receive comes in this life. And that is the blessing of living a Holy Spirit-filled life. One of the words for the Holy Spirit in Scripture is the Paraclete, one who comes along beside you. Think about that. God loves you so much as his child that he sends his Holy Spirit to walk alongside you in your life, bringing power, bringing love, bringing everything you need in this life. That's right there at your side. This inheritance, this thing, this Holy Spirit that Christ died to send to you is yours here and now. The second thing is as glorious as that, and that is what's waiting for you when your life ends here on earth. Because of what Jesus has done to make you a child of God, you have an inheritance that is waiting for you when you die. Heaven, paradise. This is the inheritance of children of God. And yes, it only comes through saving faith in Jesus Christ. This is the only way. But you have that waiting for you as a child of God when you die, as part of the inheritance that he has given you now. And brothers and sisters, I don't think we reflect upon this enough in this life. I don't think we dwell upon it. I don't think we think about it nearly enough. I don't know why. There are reasons, I'm sure. But I want to draw your minds there now. I want you to leave here thinking about this heavenly inheritance that Jesus has died to purchase for you. An author by the name of Donald MacLeod, in contemplating, doing what I'm just encouraging you to do now, has written this description of heaven that I think is worthwhile and beneficial for us to ponder. He's a professor over in Scotland, but he writes, "Paradise was no mere seminary where Adam and Eve whiled away the hours in theological discussion. I'm sure they did that, and that they did it with more relish than any of my students." You know, professors have to be a little smarmy at times and take stabs at their students. Listen to what he says, though. He goes on, it gets better, much better. He says, but Eden offered scope for art, science, and technology as well as theology. The same will doubtless be true of the world to come. Bearing the image of the heavenly, we shall explore, colonize, serve, keep, and enhance our magnificent environment, that is, heavenly, new heavens and new earth. Not only the Creator, but the creation also will be an object of wonder. It will challenge our intellects, fire our imaginations, and stimulate our industry. The scenario is a thrilling one. Think about this today. Brilliant minds and powerful bodies in a transformed universe with energy, dexterity, and athleticism here undreamed of, we shall explore horizons beyond our wildest imaginations. That's one author. That's one man's dwelling on what heaven will be like. And guys, it's going to be even better than that. As good as that sounds, of new resurrection bodies, of feats that we haven't even dreamed of yet, being able to accomplish in the new heavens and the new earth. All of these things given to you as an inheritance of children of your heavenly Father. Do you know your Heavenly Father? Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? Which are you? If you are the latter, there is great hope. And I encourage you this morning to cry out to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put your faith in Him and rely upon Him to give you all of the benefits that are waiting for you as adopted children of your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you for this work that you have accomplished on our behalf in Jesus Christ, that you have made us children of God. We thank you for that. We praise you for the benefits of this remarkable adoption. And pray that we would bring you honor and glory as children who love their Father with an undying love. Work this in our hearts this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.